The ministry of Jesus began in that Judean countryside. John the Baptist was teaching about the coming kingdom, and he was baptizing people in the Jordan River. John had several followers, disciples that surrounded him. In fact, he had quite a few. But John had one purpose. And that purpose was to prepare the people to receive Jesus as the Messiah. One day, as John was teaching, he saw Jesus and he said to those around him, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I want you to think about that statement for a moment. John does something very strange there, not just calling a human being a lamb, but he's taking the whole sacrificial system and he's placing it on Jesus. And he looks out and he says to those who are around him, especially his disciples, "Look at God's Lamb. Look at the anointed one. Look at the Messiah." I mean, when you think of the Lamb of God, you go back to the Day of Atonement. You go back to that sacrificial lamb and that scapegoat that was going on. You go back to the Passover. You go back to these callings by God of spiritual gatherings. And John says, "Look, there's the Lamb of God." He was calling them to think about something that the rest of the world, the rest of the Jews, could not even imagine. And his words were both profound and prophetic. The next day, John was standing, and two of his disciples were with him. And he said to them, "Behold the Lamb of God." Those two disciples then followed Jesus. And I want to begin with verse 40 of John chapter 1. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "So you are Simon, son of John? You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. This morning, I want to take a look at these two men and their high calling. Let's begin with a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before you and we ask for you to enter into us, as you have been doing through this worship, as we've been coming to you in song and prayer and communing with you through the Lord's Supper. We're asking you in your spirit to reveal yourself within us today through this study of Scripture, that we would understand what it means to be called your disciples, that we would understand what it is to come and to follow you. We ask you to help us with the hardest transformation we can make, and that is to let go of self and give ourselves all to you. Guide us this morning, Father. Challenge us and then help us to make that resolution. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Jump forward a short period of time, and Jesus is no longer down in Judea where John's ministry is. Jesus is up in Galilee now. And he had met Andrew and, of course, we say Peter. He had met them down in Judea, but he's going to meet them again up in Galilee. So Jesus has been going around, and we were talking about this just last week, I think it was, and Jesus was going to all of these synagogues and doing all of these great things. And Jesus was doing this teaching, and here's one of the things that happened. It says in Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him, "Put out a little from the land." And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let your nets down for a catch." I'm going to stop there for just a moment. Two things. Number one, I love that Jesus' pulpit was a boat. I feel very confident now that fishing is a very spiritual aspect and I should be able to do it at any point in time. But secondly, and more importantly, Jesus teaches these people, but that's not the point of this encounter. The point of this encounter is to reach Peter and Andrew. And so when he gets done teaching them, the masses that is, that have so gathered around him, he tells them, "I want you to take your boat and I want you to go out into deep water." Now, let's be honest. How many of you are glad that COVID seems to be at least getting to be less of a topic today? Anybody excited? Wow. I think that's unanimous. That doesn't happen in church most of the time. 2020 was not America's best year, was not Christians' best year, by the way. It didn't always bring out the best within us of the character of God. And now that things are changing a little bit, many people are excited. It was a year that left some alone and isolated and hurting, but now people want to just get back to normal. And really, I want you to think about it for a moment. What does normal mean for a Christian? I mean, Andrew and Peter were on a spiritual mountaintop with John down in Judea. What took them down there? We have no idea. We know that they were following John. We know that they were disciples, if you will, of John. At least Andrew was, because he goes and gets his brother Cephas or Peter. But they come back to Galilee. And when they come back to Galilee, they go back to work, fishing. That was their job. That was their life. That was normal. It was normal. I loved Judea. I loved all that we were doing down there, but I still have to pay the bills. But life goes on. And I'll be really honest. Monday comes for me just as much as it comes for you. And life gets back to normal. I love worship. I love coming together on Sunday. I love to sing. And so I love that we get that opportunity to sing. And we got such talented worship leaders here. And getting a chance then to listen to the heart of somebody lead us in prayer. I mean, that just, our guys here just open up before God. And I get drawn right into that. And then as we break communion together, we break that bread together and that cup together, and it's a great spiritual high for me. I love worship. Sunday is my favorite day of the week. It is. I love everything about this day because I get to spend at least a portion of it with you experiencing God. But every day is not Sunday. And Monday comes around. And I go to the office and I make the phone calls. I send out letters. I study for classes and sermons. And I go and do some visiting. And my life goes back to normal. And I'll tell you, when I sat with this encounter of Jesus, I had to ask myself, does Jesus call me to normal? Or is Jesus wanting something extraordinary? Is he calling me to just have my Sundays, have my spiritual highs, have my Judean time, but then come back to Galilee and just do life? Is that what Jesus really wants from me? Jesus comes into my life and he asks me to do what seems to be the impossible. How do I do Christianity the way he presented God? As was mentioned earlier, he was perfect. And I'm far from it. And sometimes I just struggle with how to do life. So Jesus says to Peter, I want you to, you washed your net. By the way, he has cleaned up. I love to fish. I'm going to just assume everybody else loves to fish. That may not be a true statement, but I'm going to assume it is. Okay? So you've gone fishing. You brought fish home. Okay? And you have filleted them out. You've gotten them all. So you've got the boat all packed up. You've got the fish all packed up. Everything is done. And then Jesus steps in and says, let's go back out to the lake. Well, probably that wouldn't take a whole lot for me to do. But nonetheless, I get where Peter's coming from. Peter's idea is, and this is verse 5. I want you to listen to verse 5. He says, Simon Peter answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. We worked all night and caught nothing. Jesus said, by the way, verse 4 is, go out and put your nets down into the deep water for a catch. That was a statement. You will catch fish. Simon's response is, we fished all night. And by the way, don't answer the question out loud. Who's the professional fisherman here? Jesus or Simon? Simon is. Okay? What he's saying is, hey, but we got this. We kind of know what we're doing. We fished all night long. And we caught nothing. That's the time to go fishing. You've had the Sunday service with us. And you've had the worship time. And now here in the middle of the day, you want us to go out and go fishing again. Now, I know I'm reading a lot into that, but I don't believe I'm far from what was probably going on inside of Simon. But don't you love how Simon finishes this? But at your word, I will let down the nets. Wow. God calls me to do things I don't want to do as a Christian. Love your enemies. Let's just start there. I'll pick the easy one. Okay? Love your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. Pray for them. That's the easy one, right? How many of us get up every day thinking about how God could take our enemies and bring a blessing into their life and maybe even use us to do that? Now, you may say, I don't have any enemies. That would be wonderful. How many irritants are in your life? Okay? And don't look to your right or left because your spouse doesn't want that. Okay? We all have the irritants. My point is this. When God asks you to do something, do you do it? Or do you find the excuse to not do it? We fished all night, we caught nothing. That should have been the end of the sentence, or at least the end of the topic. But because it's you, because of who you are, we'll go on out. Let's see what happens, verses 6 and following. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners on the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me. I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Peter meets Jesus in Judea, but he accepts who Jesus is in Galilee. You see, I think there's a progression in our spiritual life. I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up with the stories of Jesus. I grew up going to church. Okay? I grew up as a preacher's kid. I was here like every single time the doors were open. And if there was a 2-week gospel meeting, we were there every single night of the meeting. But there comes a time when you meet Jesus in your own life. There comes the point when it's not just the stories and the faith of mom and dad, and it's not even just the spiritual highs of camp or retreats, there comes a time when you come and you encounter Jesus. And when God's Spirit works on you at that point in time, there really is only one answer. I'm a sinful person. You know, I sat with that. Peter's not a bad guy. I don't read of Peter extorting people through fishing. I don't read of him doing evil things. I think he's a good Jew. I think he does his best to follow God. And we know that at least Andrew is a disciple of Jesus, but they were down there in Judea and they were down there for a spiritual purpose. But now when he encounters Jesus personally, and he sees the difference between himself and Jesus, and he recognizes holiness for what holiness is, he says, "Depart from me. I'm sinful." As in, I don't deserve to be in your presence. I get that. I don't deserve to be in God's presence. When we sang, we are in God's presence. When we prayed, we are in God's presence. When we partook of that Lord's Supper, we communed in God's presence. That ought to have some humblingness to it, as well as excitingness to it. And Simon Peter understands Jesus is far more than just a prophet. Jesus is that Lamb of God when Jesus called them, they had to make a decision. Do they leave their nets and follow him or not? Following Jesus is more than a religious experience. It is more than Sunday worship. It is more than a Wednesday fireside Bible study. It is more than Camp Manitani. It is more than a camping trip or a spiritual retreat that the teens are on right now. Following Jesus is leaving everything. Now there's a calling that I'm going to ask, are we up for? I love coming to worship, but life goes on Monday. They left everything. They left the nets. They left their job. They left their livelihood. They walked away. On what? The word of a man? They saw him for who he was. If God can take these nets and sink two boats with fish. First of all, I really want to go fishing with Jesus someday. I just need to do that. If he can take and sink those boats or begin to sink those boats, what can't he do? He can do anything. So when he says, follow me, it should be a no-brainer. It should be, I'm going to walk away from that which I feel is my security to take on Jesus, who is truly my security. I don't have to necessarily walk away from my job. I don't think he's asking you to walk away from your job. He's not asking you to walk away from your family. What he's saying is, until I am number one, you haven't really followed me. I've got to be number one. Fine, go to work. But if your work is keeping you or causing you to not be a Christian, then you better take a look at which one you want. Your relationships, your friendship, the way you live life, wonderful. But if those relationships are harmful to you spiritually, should you be continuing on in those type of relationships? Is that the friends you really need, the people that are taking you away and telling you how horrible God is? If the things that I desire, and there are sinful things, and maybe you don't have a particular struggle, but I think most people have at least a sin that is a temptation for them that seems overwhelming at times. And we seem to be willing to give up so much to have that. What about giving up that to have so much? Jesus says, follow me. They left their nets and they followed him. Many of you know that Carrie and I love to go fishing. If you haven't, you probably know that now. This is not me and my kids, by the way. It's a generic picture. When our kids were small, we used to go up to Canada to go fishing once a year for a week. And that was a tradition my mom and dad did with me when I was a child, and I loved it. And I remember catching my first northern pike. Okay, that's a totally different story, but I remember catching that first northern. If you've never caught a pike, you don't even know what I'm talking about, but they are the gators of the lake. So we took our kids and we went up to Canada to go fishing. And we were in a pretty decent spot. We're really actually more around a bass spot than we were a northern pike spot. And Elizabeth, who was our oldest, I say the little ones, wow, they would hate that. Hopefully they're not listening to this sermon. Like they would go in the bow of the boat and they would kind of like make a little tent in the bow of the boat and they would kind of stay there. But Caleb and Elizabeth, I was teaching them how to fish. So I'd carry up front with the younger ones and Caleb and Elizabeth in the middle and I was in the back. And Elizabeth, I had them kind of just jigging down at the bottom. Go catch the junk fish. Leave daddy alone. Elizabeth caught a fish. I think it was a perch. I'm not even sure what she caught. She caught a little fish. She was so excited. I was excited for her. But I couldn't get the hook out. And I said, and we were in this spot and we were drifting along. And I know you only got a certain amount of time. So I said, honey, just put out some line and just let it go. And when we drift through this bay, daddy will get your fish off your hook for you. And so I fish artificial lures and I was out casting and trying to catch a fish. And all of a sudden I hear her just screaming, I got one, I got. Well, she had a perch. I knew she had a perch. No, something had taken that perch. I'm like, well, reel it in. Okay. And she's trying with all of her might to reel it in. And she catches her first northern pike, 22 inches, something like that. And I'm excited for her. And she's excited. What I want you to think about for a moment is how exciting would it have been for Andrew and Simon and James and John to catch so many fish that their boats began to sink. Wouldn't that have been exciting? And in the excitement, Jesus says, leave it all. That would have been a lot of money, by the way. So many fish that they had brought in. Jesus says, leave it all. Come and follow me. Jesus took them from an excitement to a challenge. Their lives were forever changed from that one moment. They had to make a question. They had to answer a question. Would they surrender everything to follow him? In just a moment, we're going to be singing that song, correct? All to Jesus, I surrender. All to him I freely give. I want you to sing the song, but more importantly, I pray that the words of that song is the prayer that you're making. That you are really going to surrender everything to him. It's not an easy thing to do in life, but the rewards, they are so wonderful. The beauty is so great. But it's hard to make that decision to let go of the thing that you think really is helping you to take on Jesus Christ, who says, I'll give you everything. If we can help you to surrender to him, then won't you come as we stand and as we sing?